the free agency guys at the left tackle position, that's going to be paramount for the Miami Dolphins. We've been harping on this for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Guys at the top of the list, Eugene Monroe, doesn't look like the Baltimore Ravens are going to come to an agreement. So it looks like when that window opens and Saturday rolls around, that the certified agents will be able to start negotiating with teams around the NFL. Arizona, one of those teams that are going to be interested in providing some tackle help, maybe Indianapolis. There's teams all around the NFL that are going to be looking for quality offensive linemen. The Miami Dolphins are not singular in that. It's plural. They're going to be looking for offensive line men, two or three, hopefully, when you take into the 2014 draft coming up in May. And Keith, one of those names at the atop of the list is Eugene Monroe. Brandon Albert's one of those guys in Kansas City. Zach Strife, Jared Veldheer from Oakland. You have Anthony Collins. You may even throw in Roger Safford in that mix with the Rams, because it doesn't look like they're going to come to an agreement, and he may hit free agency. A bunch of names, and we've been kicking around the idea of the Miami Dolphins maybe, if you don't get the top guy at your list, maybe you go down to two or three, maybe it opens up a window to get another offensive lineman, maybe to get a guard position, because it looks like Monroe has been talking about $10 million. That's his threshold. Mm-hmm. And it seems Baltimore was offering 8 or 9. That's the reports that are out there everywhere. What would be your top of your list if you're playing GM of the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. And I read that same report about Eugene Monroe, and he's the youngest. He's probably the guy that is heading up the schedule, you know, the ladder more than anybody else. He's got that perfect combination of he can run block, he can pass block. He's only 26 years old, so you know you can get a good 5 to 7 years out of him. Been pretty durable throughout his career. But I think the Dolphins have to be very wise with this cap space. Yeah, it would be great to land Eugene Monroe from the Baltimore Ravens. But I don't know if I want to spend $10 million on that. When you can get, you know, there's three or four guys who Eugene might be number one, but number two and three and four are pretty close there. And like you mentioned, I'd really want to see the Dolphins come out of free agency, particularly the first week, with maybe two slots filled, not just one. And my fear is if you go and overpay, because the Dolphins may have to do that to get him down there, then it may limit you later in filling other spots. And like we've talked about all during the week, and we will continue to talk about, depending on what happens with Mike Pouncey, if there's any suspension or not, you may be looking for not just five guys, but 6, 7, 8 guys new that you got to bring here. And it's going to cost money. And you know for sure you need four guys to step up and fill starting roles on this offensive line. So you've got to be very wise with the money and not be – and I don't expect Dennis Hickey to be lured by the name or the illusion. I would not be shocked again if he gets the third best tackle and maybe the first or second guard. To me, that's a better combination than just coming out of here with the top-ranked tackle.
Yeah, and when you look at these offensive linemen and you talk about the money situation, Keith, I think you're right. You can't just go and just back the Brinks truck up and just unload everything, because so many other spots that you really need. And just to have opportunity to see the different dynamics of the offensive linemen that's going to be out there, the Miami Dolphins and the rest of the National Football League, they always looking for that next really good offensive lineman, because you have a situation where you're going to be able to protect your franchise quarterback. And being able to get one in here is going to be really tough. But, you know, you have to go out there. You have to test those waters and really see what it's going to really take to get one of them down here, because you need it. Not only because you have that franchise quarterback and you don't really know exactly what we're getting with Ryan Tannehill because of the offensive line over the last couple of years, but if you put something in place, and I think now when you look with Bill Lazor and his offense that he's been a part of in the Philadelphia last year, just the dynamics of it, you need versatile guys that's going to be able to play multiple positions. Just going back and looking at those New England teams that's been able to be successful over the last 15 years, it's because when they draft those guys, they eventually they'll play at a left tackle for about 3 or 4 years. Then they move over to the right tackle. They move them to the guard. You're still going to have to go out there and draft somebody that you really think that's going to be able to play, to be able to play longer and more years eventually, because you're talking about older guys here. You know, if you're going to patch it up, you might as well re-sign Brian McKinney and utilize him a couple more years until you can find those dynamic offensive linemen like we had with Keith and as well as Richmond Webb.
You know what will be interesting too, guys, is that, you know, Joe Philbin's history of offensive line, mm-hmm. and being able to evaluate, and you guys bring up an interesting point about – maybe a clean slate with that offensive line. You've got a new offensive line coach in John Benton. You have a new assistant offensive line coach in Jack McNeil Jr. They have to evaluate these guys on tape when they come in. But there may be not only the starters, but the backups on this roster. Mm-hmm. They may be going out and looking, as you said, Keith, the 6th, 7th, 8th, the 9th guy that you're bringing to camp, that you're bringing to OTAs when you get to 90 for camp come summer. There may be some new names we have to learn because they may not be currently on this roster.
And you've got to also keep in mind the cap, not just this year, but long-term.
And it's going up.
It is going up, but if you dedicate, let's say Eugene Monroe's number is $10 million a year, and you give him a five-year contract, now you're dedicating $50 million to that left tackle spot. Maybe better served to say, you know what, let's get the third tackle and have to pay him $6 million, get another guard that you got to pay $5 or $6 million, and now you're spending $11 million, but that contract hit isn't so hard on that cap, because whatever you bring in this year, I'm fully expecting these guys to be here for the next 5 years. These are like 5-year deals, I expect. Right. So you're gonna chew up a lot of that cap space on an offensive line.
Let's go back to get a little bit more of a national perspective, guy, with Pete Prisco of CBSSports.com on how the Miami Dolphins are addressing the offensive line situation in free agency.
Well, you got to be careful in free agency because that market's going to get way high. And I think the tackles are going to get overpaid. I think Albert will probably get overpaid. Monroe will get overpaid. So you got to be real careful. I think if you go lower level and mine that area a little bit, you can get 2 or 3 starters, or at least guys who can come in and compete. Guards. Saffold has played both guard and tackle. He really played well as a guard. I think he's a better guard option. So I'd be careful of the high top dollar guys and maybe mine get 2 or 3 of the lower level guys.
Yeah, that's an interesting name, Roger Saffold. He'll definitely hit the market on Tuesday. I was reading a report from ProFootballTalk.com today, and he'll definitely be out there. And he has flexibility, and that's something that the Miami Dolphins, you know, it seems like, hey, we need a tackle. We need a big-time tackle. We need a big-time guard. But a guy that maybe can play both, and we were talking about this over the last couple of weeks, guys, you want to get 2, not for the price of 1, but you know you're going to have to pay if you get one of those top guys, but you still need bodies. You still need numbers, and with those numbers, you're still looking for quality because that guy is not only penciled in to start, he's in ink, he's in a Sharpie. He has to start for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, and with Roger Saffold, he's one of those undersized offensive linemen, especially left tackle, in a similar situation where he was thrust right into the starting job at the left tackle. Had opportunity when he got drafted to watch him and see him develop when I was doing internship with the St. Louis Rams. So he is one of those guys that's going to work really hard. But, you know, it's still, when you look at the St. Louis Rams right now and they feel that, you know, he is not the starter for the future, you still have to take that in consideration. So I like what Prisco said about, you know, that second tier level of offensive lineman. You got to be careful, you know, of jumping the gun and going out and spending a lot of money over those top 3 guys and have an opportunity to really find those gems in the middle of the road. So there are a lot of names that's going to be thrown around, floating around, but you have to go back and you have to watch those film, and that's what these scouts and general managers, they do on a daily basis. They go back, they break down all the film that these guys have played over the last couple of years to see if he'll be a perfect fit in a situation to where you can get a very good dollar amount for these guys instead of going and overspending for them.
Keith, we've been talking about over the last couple of days, something's going to happen. Tuesday, 4:01, Miami Dolphins are going to sign one of these offensive linemen. Number one, do you think that's still going to happen? And if I had to give you the two names of Eugene Monroe or maybe a Brandon Albert, which one do you think the Miami Dolphins may be in line for with the style of offense that they want to run?
If I had to pick one guy to be that right at 4:01 or 4:10 announcement, I would probably go with Eugene Monroe. Even though I'm as the more I kind of pull this in my mind, I'm more inclined to go that second tier tackle and a guard as well, maybe either a third offensive lineman and bundle that together, then go get the guy. But if you're gonna go make that splash and get the best guy, I would say go Eugene Monroe because of his age. And as he hasn't had the injuries that Brandon Albert, even though Brandon's played at a higher level, I think everyone out there believes Eugene Monroe can get to that level and play that way for the next 5 or 7 years. So if I'm going number one for agency, let's make the big splash.
Yeah.
If we're going to do
it. I just hope Troy Stafford didn't make that prediction either.
No, well, we have that later, early in the week next week. You'll have to hear a lot of T. Stratford's prediction. You made a lot of them